Well, good morning, adoptees. That's what I'm going to start calling you from now on. I read an article a couple of weeks ago that one of the pastor's greatest challenges is constantly reminding his people who they are in Christ. And through Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. So, happy Sunday, adoptees. Glad to be back. Last week was an amazing experience. Some of you may not know, but my son Seth got married. We were in Lubbock for most of the week. Yeah. Fine Christian young lady, somebody that we prayed for about 25 years. Never knew her name till about 2 years ago. But she's a delightful young woman, and God has answered that prayer. But Lubbock has this notorious way of taking perfectly normal, healthy people and making them unhealthy. Debbie's sister had trouble getting in for the wedding because when they tried to land the plane, there were 60-mile-an-hour crosswinds in Lubbock. And if you've ever been to Lubbock, of course you haven't because nobody ever just winds up there. You have to intentionally want to go. But when you get to Lubbock, it's just flat and it is the great wide open. And it was windy and dusty just like it always is. It was also the hottest day of the year, the day of the wedding. It was 97 degrees. But it's a dry heat. And When we got done with the rehearsal dinner Friday night, it was in a barn complex and it was kind of outside, literally 5 miles at the end of a dirt road. True story. And so we got done with the rehearsal dinner. I got back to the motel and I took my socks off and it went poof. There was just red dust of cloud. Saturday after the wedding, we got done and I went back to the motel to take my black dress shoes off. And I literally wrote my name in the red dust in my dress shoes. So, I tell you all that to tell you that at some point during the service, I'm going to cough, I'm going to take a sip of my water, and I'm probably going to put a cough drop in my mouth. Now, under the current environment of the whole wide world, please don't assume that I have anything other than Lubbock dust in my body, right? However, those of you on the front row, either mask up or move back. It's entirely up to you. There you go. I want to start a series today entitled Rebuild. And it has to do with the events of the last 14 or 15 months. Because it has affected the hearts and the souls of people before the pandemic who were supposedly living strong in their faith. But the virus and the things of the last year have challenged that. Churches all over the world are struggling to get back on their feet and reestablish kingdom in their communities. There are two polls out, one done by Lifeway, one done by Pew International, both research organizations, and their prognostications and surveys are not positive. Pew Research estimates that 1 in 4 churches will wind up closing in the next 2 years because they just can't recover. I personally know of 2 churches that have already closed. Pew Research is a little more optimistic. They say only 1 in 5 churches will close in the next 2 years. But it's not all bad. The virus, while it's having its toll on us, it's also challenged us to relook and rethink at what's going on. If what the church was doing before the pandemic wasn't being successful, then why would they want to continue doing that after the pandemic and think that they are going to be successful? And so it's time for the church to begin to rethink what it's going to look like and how it's going to address the needs and the concerns of a post-COVID world and culture and society. And so that's where we're going to start today. The series is a 3-part series. It's entitled Rebuild. And I want you to understand this morning that while there may be some components of this that seem dark and grim, this is really an opportunity to bring hope into our lives because all is not lost. God has always been with his people. He's promised to always be with his people. And so he is the future. He is the hope. If we will simply begin to rebuild our spiritual structure, not only as a church, but as individual believers, and decide to join God where he is in the here and now. The first component to that is our propensity for worship. And that's what I want to focus on today. We want to rebuild our passion for worship. During the stay-home, work-safe orders that so many of us experienced, everybody here in town and so many around the world, we weren't even able to meet. The attendance of the church was literally zero. I guess if you count me and the praise team and the sound people, the attendance here was 8 to 12, depending on the week. And that wasn't on Sunday. We were rehearsing, or we were recording it Saturday morning and uploading it. Now we're able to meet at full capacity, but if you look around, you can see that we're less than 50% of our capacity. This room at full capacity is 300. Half of that would be 150. Some people have come back. That would be you, adoptees. Some people haven't. Some people have told me that they never will. Some people are still making excuses for why they can't. Some people are still living in fear. Some people have just gotten lazy. And while live stream has been a massive blessing and a massive technology, it has created a sense of sloth amongst believers all around the world. Why should I get up and put down my coffee cup and my breakfast and get out of my pajamas when I can just kick my feet up on my coffee table and watch it live? I want to explain why you should today, because if we're going to rebuild our faith, which has been shaken, it has to start with worship. And it starts with a passion that comes from inside of you. It starts with a passion that comes from Jesus. Every day giving yourself over to Him for praise and for love. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, what? Let us what? Let us go. Where? To the house of the Lord. There's a gladness that comes from being in the house of the Lord. And so today I want to help you start the process of rebuilding your glad. You want to? You ready? Find Psalm 66 in your text, if you will. Psalm 66, beginning in verse 1. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is the power of your enemies. Come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Stop. That's a musical pause. Because it wants to get you to think about what's coming next. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. Skip down to verse 16. Again, come, let us listen, all who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. He doesn't withhold His love for you. Let the praise of the psalmist motivate you to a rebuilding passion of your personal worship with God. Worship comes in two forms. It comes personally, but it also comes corporately. We talk about gather, go, give, grow around here. And the first of those is gather. And when we talk about that, we talk about gathering in His name. Not just here, but on our knees, at our bedside, or in our prayer closet to offer Him personal praise and worship and sacrifice. God is passionate about His relationship with each one of us. And He would want you to be passionate about your relationship with Him. In Jeremiah chapter 31, the prophet is addressing 70 years of captivity and servitude to Nebuchadnezzar. 70 years. I want you to listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says to the people. Chapter 31. The Lord appeared to us in the past. In the past. Jeremiah was the appearance of God in the present. And he wanted the people to know, look, God hadn't forgotten about us. He's not left us to deal with this. He appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. How much love has your Father given you? Everlasting. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be what? You'll be rebuilt. But you don't do it on your own. Who rebuilds you? Say it. The Lord does. God does. If you're trying to rebuild who you are and what you were spiritually post-pandemic on your own, you're going to fail, and you're going to be sad, and you're going to be miserable, and you're going to blame the church, and you're going to blame God, and you're going to walk away. Many of you are on the cusp of that now. He promised his people, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'm drawing you with my loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your tambourines, and you will go out and dance with the joyful. Do you hear what he's connecting this to? The rebuilding process lays on a foundation of worship and celebration and joy. Praise. It starts with worship. It starts with worship. And you say, well, Pastor Kevin, that sounds easy. I like worship. You need to understand the definition. Worship isn't music. Worship includes music. It includes prayer. It includes celebration. It includes offering, sacrifice, and giving. Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, it's easy. The greatest commandment is that you love God. And there's another commandment that's attached to that. By the way, let me just point this out here. The second part of that commandment is not equal to the first part of that commandment. The second part of the commandment is important, that you love others and that you love yourself. But you can't love others and you can't love yourself the way God wants you to love others and love yourself until you love Him best first. In fact, the Scripture says that the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart. This is the first and the greatest of all the commandments. Well, how do you manifest that? How do you manifest a love for God? It starts with your worship. Your worship is the way you express your love for God. And worship starts simply by showing up. It starts simply by showing up. On your knees, at your bedside, in your prayer closet, or here at the church house. It just starts by creating an environment and a life habit where you decide that you're going to be a worshiper. Part of Psalm 66 that we didn't read is verse 13 and 14. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. My lips and the promises of my mouth spoken when I was in trouble. I find that interesting because typically when people are in trouble, they run to God, right? We make God all kind of promises. Oh, Lord, if you just let me out of this, I promise I'll do X, Y, and Z. And then he lets us out of it or something happens that it works out in our favor. And we're like, I really didn't mean that. I was just desperate and it blurted out before I had a chance to think about it. But this pandemic has been interesting. Because unlike 9/11, when that happened, the churches were full for the next several weeks. But the pandemic has had the opposite effect. Instead of people running to God in the midst of the pandemic, they have walked away and run away from God during the midst of the pandemic. Good, faithful, hardworking, diligent believers. Got a testimony from a pastor's wife here in our area. Heartbroken. Our elders have just walked away from the faith. Some of our small group teachers have completely abandoned the church and their classes, and she's just pouring out this brokenness of people that they had loved and depended on and relied on and built the church on When the pandemic came, they just... Why is that? I put it in the blast a couple weeks ago. One of the reasons that people who had demonstrated some type of faith in the midst of the body of Christ had walked away is because we have what's I refer to as an Americanized version of Christianity. And it's soft. And it doesn't require accountability or stick-to-itiveness or discipline. It simply requires a feel-good gathering 3 or 4 times a week and potlucks and bowling adventures and those kind of things. And I don't discount those. Those are good things to have. But they don't make stick-to-itive disciples. And when the pandemic came, people just walked away from the church. They walked away from the faith. They walked away from their posts, so to speak. Because their life wasn't built on a principal foundation of showing up daily in their prayer closet for worship. And it began to show. Disciples give of themselves. They give of their time and their talent and their treasure. And they minister within the church and the mission and beyond. They participate in small group and accountability relationships. They choose themselves to be disciples. They choose themselves to make disciples. But it all starts by simply showing up as a worshiper. Hebrews chapter 10, and this is the famous you need to come to church passage, but that's really not what this is about. This isn't about just attendance. This is about the benefit to you and to other people because you come. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Do you understand this is the foundation for why we're here? We're here to spur one another on. I need you. I need your hugs. I need your pat on the back to tell me, look, God's got you and everything's going to be okay. And you need that from the other people in this room. That's why we come. Spur one another on towards good deeds. You know, would you believe that sometimes your pastor don't want to do good deeds? Those of you that know me well know that. Sometimes I just want to do Kevin deeds. And Kevin deeds almost always get me in trouble. Sometimes I need somebody to hold me accountable and reel me in and go, no, don't do that. Sometimes I need somebody to push me and go, you really need to do this. I need somebody to spur me on. Life's hard. Being a Christ follower in 21st century America is hard. Did I just say America? America, sorry. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day that is approaching. Let us encourage one another. This is why we gather. This is why we come into this place. While we're here, we get to celebrate Jesus. And we should do that with all of our vigor, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But we come together to encourage one another on. He ends that by saying, all the more as you see the day approaching, capital D. Why is this important? What day is he talking about? The day that he is talking about is the day of tribulation. And you think the pandemic was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And if you can't stand in your faith during a time of virus, how in the world are you going to stand in your faith when Christians are being slaughtered and beheaded to the point where their blood runs in the streets so deep that it comes up to the bridle of the horse's bit? This is why we need each other. Because there's a day coming that makes 2020 look like you ain't seen nothing yet. Read the book of Acts. You never find a growing Christian who is casual about coming to church. They couldn't wait. Jesus made going to the temple a priority. We looked at Mark chapter 3, verse 1 in the Wednesday night Bible study. I want you to listen to this because it made me chuckle. It's almost like a teenager was saying this. And Jesus went to the synagogue again. Jesus went to the synagogue again. Mark is young and impetuous and fiery when he's writing this. And he sticks that word in there because he wants you to know that this is what Jesus did. He went to the house of God to be with God's people. This story doesn't originate with me. I heard a preacher tell it a couple weeks ago. He was in Kansas City. There was a woman at an ice cream shop that was going in to get some ice cream. And while she was making her order, another customer slipped in behind her, and she just kind of glanced, and she noticed that it was Brad Pitt who was in there filming a movie. Well, she got all flummoxed and all flustered and wasn't exactly quite sure what to do, and she was stumbling to try to find her change to pay and all that kind of thing. And she wanted to talk to him, but she didn't know if she could or should or whatever, and so she just goes ahead and pays for her ice cream and makes her way out, and she gets out to her car. She's like, oh, shucks. And she goes back in, and as she's going back into the ice cream shop, Brad Pitt's on his way out and says, ma'am, are you looking for your ice cream? He goes, and Brad Pitt says, you put it in your purse with your change. And as he told that story, I thought, that's just Brad Pitt. Why can't we as God's people be that way in his presence? It's a beautiful thing. It says the Lord inhabits that from us. What does that mean? That means when we decide to be that, when we decide to be in awe and worship and celebratory of him, he inhabits that. He comes and he resides where that is. One of the reasons God has been absent and distant to you during the time of this pandemic is that your worship has suffered, personally and corporately. He can't inhabit where the worship is not rising up. Let me rephrase that. He won't inhabit where the worship is not rising up. Pre-pandemic, coming to church was just something we did. It was just a box that we had to check off at the end of our week. It shouldn't be that way. There should be a yearning and a longing and a wanting to be here. And if you won't come and worship with God's people in public, I can pretty well guarantee you that you're not worshiping God in private. At least not the way you need to be. And so don't be discouraged by this, but be encouraged by this, that this is being brought up and called out, and begin rebuilding your faith by choosing today to reignite your passion for worship. And that rebuilding starts just by showing up in your prayer closet, on your knees, with your text, with your prayers. But then it overflows into being here. All your other adoptees need you, and you need them. But if you finish Psalm 66, it says that rebuilding our faith not only starts by showing up, but it evolves into speaking up. You just got to let it out. Do you understand what a privilege it is to be here this morning? A year ago on this day, we weren't here. Do you realize that in 2020, churches all around the world did not gather on Resurrection Sunday, Easter morning? Do you also realize that those that did, their pastors were arrested? There's a church in Canada that has had their property confiscated by the Canadian government. That's Canada. You would expect that in some other radical country, but that's Canada. I thought Canadians were nice. We better realize that what we have here is a gift. It is a privilege. Let's go back to Psalm 66, verse 1 through 5. I want to draw your attention to four main words in the story. In verse 1, he says, shout for joy to God. That term shout literally means to mark, right? It means to leave an impression on something. It's what I do when I go down my reminder list through the day. Pay the bills. Mark. I just put a cross through that. The word shout means to leave a mark. Does your conversation or your worship leave a mark on God? Does it split his ears with the sound of your joy? The text is not talking about chaos. but it's talking about an exuberance of your joy. If you watch me over here on Sunday morning, I'm not real animated. I noticed myself this morning, I'm sitting and singing, and I just got my hands in my pocket. And if you were to look over at me and judge me by my actions, you'd think, well Pastor Kevin, he's just buying his time so he can get up there and yell at us for 30 minutes. And that's not it at all. I'm not moving because I'm concentrating on singing. There's an energy that comes through my voice. I celebrate, I praise with the intensity of my singing. Some of you raise a hand. Some of you raise two. Don't raise more than that. We'll have to talk about you at business meeting. Just kidding. Relax, people. But we have different forms of expression. My wife's very calm. She's very quiet. She's very docile. Sometimes during church, I have to check on her to see if she's still breathing. But when I look over at her and I look at her, there's just this laser focus on the words and on what's going on. But there's still an exuberance there. I express mine through intense singing. She expresses hers through intense focus. Some people express theirs through the raising of their hands. There needs to be this intensity that comes from you when you're in personal worship and or when you're in corporate worship. Then he says that we should sing the glory of his name. I've told you before, one of the highlights of my worship time is when we stop the music and I just get to hear you. I also bet that God likes that too. When he hears his people just stop and sing unto him. Did you pay attention to what we sang today? These are words of celebration. These are words of worship. These are words of proclamation. These are words of intensity that deserve an enthusiastic and an inspirational, joyful response from within you. You are rich in love. You are slow to anger. Your name is great. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you not be inspired by those words? How about, I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. How many dark nights have you had in the last 14 or 15 months? I can lift my eyes in the darkest nights, for I know my Savior lives. And I will walk with you, knowing that you will see me through and sing the songs you give. I can sing in the troubled times. I can sing when I win. I can sing when I lose a step and fall down again. I can sing because you pick me up. I can sing because you're there. I can sing because you hear me, Lord, when I call your name in prayer. It should inspire an exuberance there. Shout, sing, say. He says, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Sometimes his deeds are really good and they're easy to go, awesome, God, that was great. Sometimes the things that happen in our life aren't great. But Romans tells us that God plans to work those for good if you love him and if you live a life that is called according to his purpose. Let me give you an example. Beth was supposed to be at my son's wedding. She babysat for him when he was a little kid. She has a sister that lives in Lubbock. It was an easy thing to do. She wanted to be there. Well, about 6 or 8 weeks ago, Beth got the epizootic. That's my grandma's word for a sinus infection. She didn't have the Rona either. Y'all relax. And she coughed and she sneezed and she wasn't feeling good. And when she talked, she sounded like somebody was squeezing a dog chew toy. It was pretty amusing, actually. We called her Squeaky for about 2 weeks. And that made her sad. But then she started feeling better, and she got to thinking, well, I probably can go. Time was drawing short. And on the day that she was supposed to leave, she sends me a text, and she goes, my tooth just exploded. And she said, had I decided to do what I wanted to do, I'd be up there in Lubbock in all of this pain and not have any opportunity or any way to, and I'd have missed the wedding anyway. And so we talked about that in the context of God knows what he's doing. You say, well, God caused the tooth to explode. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that when things in life happen, there is always a positive, good avenue to be embraced that comes from our Heavenly Father. And we have to talk about it in that context. We need to say the positive things. Was it good that she got the crud? No. Was it good that her tooth exploded? No. Was it good that she wasn't in Lubbock when all that happened? Absolutely. See, this is why we need Beth people in our lives. Because they keep that up. I told you for my 20th anniversary celebration that Sheila's one of the people in my life that always says, try counting your blessings. It really does help. There's a great gift in being together and having those people say those things because they spur me on and they encourage me. Because I don't lean that way. I lean the other way. Stupid dust. Stupid cold. Stupid tooth. Ugh. No. God has worked all that to good, and I'm going to say the good about how awesome he is. I need those people in my life because they help keep me at least drifting towards center instead of leaning the opposite way. They're good for me. They're good for you. But then he says, when he finishes up, he says, see what God has done. This kind of ties into the last point. When you see what he's done, say something about it. But we need eyes that help us see all the good that is all around us. All the good that is all around us. Because it's everywhere. Even in the midst of the virus, even in the midst of a world that is in chaos, the good of God is all around us. And we need to be intentional about seeing what he has done. What has he done for you? How has he touched you? How has he changed you? How has he challenged you? The goodness of God is everywhere. Look for the small wonders. Intentionally, be on the lookout for the small wonders. Can I tell you that you can't do that in your own strength, but that has to come from a foundational place of intentional worship to start your day? Again, let me take you back to Mark chapter 3 from our Bible study on Wednesday night. At the end of Mark chapter 2, Jesus is talking about Sabbath is made for man. And he's talking about the fact that you have to rest. The Ten Commandments says we're to remember the Sabbath day and we're supposed to keep that holy. And then when you start Mark chapter 3, he heals a guy on the Sabbath whose hand is crippled. And the Pharisees and the religious people and the hard-hearted people missed that. They were mad that Jesus broke the rule about you can't help people on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, your problem is that your heart is so hard because you don't know what it is to be a worshiper and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so when I do heal somebody on the Sabbath day, you're mad that I broke that law, but you can't be happy for that guy because he got healed. And it all boils down to the fact that you don't practice the Sabbath. It's a call to step back up to the plate. That's a baseball term. It's a call to step back up to the plate. If you struck out with your faith over the last 14 or 15 months, if it has trickled away and dwindled away and ebbed away, here's the call of hope. Step back up to the plate. It starts with your personal worship experience. And the reason I use the example of stepping up to the plate is because when a baseball player steps up to the plate, it tells him It tells everybody around him that it's your turn to do something. As a batter, you're waiting for this moment to make a difference in the game. You need to make your appearance at the plate count. Your team needs you to make your appearance at the plate count. You were adopted. You are a child of God. And if your faith needs rebuilding, then it needs to start today with you making a conscious decision to say, yes, I will. I will be a child of worship. I will reignite today my passion for worshiping God, the God who adopted me as his child. And so as your pastor and as your friend and as somebody who grieves for you and who loves you desperately, I'm calling you to step up to the plate of worship. I'm calling you to get back into the game for Team Jesus. The band's here. We're going to do what we do every week, and we're going to sing a song. And I got to ask you, will you commit to the discipline of worshiping God privately and worshiping Him publicly and making that a consistent and a constant priority? Let me ask you to stand and let me ask you to do something. As you stand and as we begin to sing, if you are serious about rebuilding your faith through personal worship, I need you to go find somebody in this room and look them in the eye and ask them, will you pray for me and will you hold me accountable as I seek to do this? Let's pray together and you begin to make that commitment. Father, help us get out of our own way to get back to you. Give us the courage to choose to be worshipers first and foremost. Help us to recommit to simply showing up in your presence in our prayer closet and in our church home. We need you as we rebuild our lives and our faith for the future. Amen.